Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It sure is a blessing to see everybody, and it's such an honor to speak for y'all. It's been a while since I've been to this church. I think a good maybe 2 to 3 years since I've been to this church, to my knowledge. And so it's really nice to be back here and to see all the old faces that I used to see. And I want to send my regards from the Durango and Aztec Church. We sure do love y'all, and we're glad to be with you. So, today is something that I've been wanting to talk to, that's something that's kind of been affecting me in my personal life. It's something I feel like we as Christians sometimes have a big problem with, and something that I feel is a good thing to talk about, and that is worry. I think a lot of the times we Christians can get so focused on the things in the world, just so involved in the things of the world, that we forget God's plan. We forget, you know, that God is greater than we are. We forget to let God take over the reins for us. And that's going to be something we're going to be talking about today. If you would, let's go ahead and start with Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than the food, and the body more than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So this is a verse talking about trouble. And one of the things that's a big key verse is it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." So it says right there to seek first. We are to put God forefront in our lives. God is an ultimate provider. You know, he says, you know, do you think that he doesn't care about you? He cares for the birds. He cares for the grass. He cares for these things. We are of great value to him as well. He cares for us, and he's going to take care of us. And it says to seek ye first, to put God forefront in our lives. As we, as Christians, sometimes we get so focused on some things that are right in front of our faces. Money issues, or, you know, life issues, or, you know, drama that may be going around. And sometimes we forget to take it aside and just realize to put God in the forefront of our minds. God, the Bible and God can solve a lot of the problems that we have today. One of the things that I see on the internet a lot is an acronym for Bible, meaning basic instructions before leaving Earth. You know, they're instructions for us. They help us to learn to be more godlike. So now let's go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. "So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." So right now it's here telling us to incline our ear to wisdom, meaning to every single time we hear something wise, you know, to incline it to it, you know, to put our heart towards it. It says apply our heart to understanding. Apply our heart to the understanding of the Bible. You know, there's a lot of great wisdom in here, and I read a lot of Proverbs just because, you know, I think Proverbs applies to our lives very strongly. There's a lot of things in there that we can learn and a lot of wisdom from it. And we have to apply our ear, apply our hearts unto understanding. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So it's first telling us here to trust in the Lord. You know, we have to realize, because sometimes as us humans, we like to take up the whole things and try to do it with our own selves. We need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Our wisdom is foolishness with God. And that's something we have to understand. Our human wisdom is foolishness. I can only imagine he's looking down at us thinking, what are they doing? Running around with like chicken's head cut off, you know? And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him as God, our sovereign, the person who created everything, created us. We have to acknowledge that. And it says, and he shall direct your paths. As long as we put God forefront of our mind and we follow what God, you know, tells us, he's going to direct us. He's going to direct us where we need to be, where we need to be in life. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, this is talking about, you know, many of us people can, we get along a lot of the times. We like to feel like we can take control of anything. We can't even take control of our own salvation. It says in verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So once again, we don't have a whole lot of power here. We need to be giving it to God in every single thing that we do, not even in our own salvation. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, giving us something that we don't deserve, you know? It says, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing regeneration of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's never saying here that it's our own doing. It's God's and God's alone. And it says, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs of the hope of eternal life. It's because of God and Jesus Christ's death on the cross that we have a chance at eternal life, brothers and sisters. And we need to realize that. We need to make sure that we put God forefront in our lives at all time. Turn with me to now to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and 16, it says, for by him all things were created that are in the heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So once again, this is just talking about how, you know, all things were created by him. You know, we have to understand that God is God. You know, he's the sovereign. He's created everything. You know, it says for everything, you know, everything visible or invisible, you know, whether thrones or dominions, all things were created for, you know, through him and for him, for his glory. That's something we have to understand. Let's get into a little bit of kind of science when it comes to the things that were created. You know, we think of ourselves as, you know, this big, huge thing, you know, we're the human race, yada, yada. But did you know that it would take roughly about 13 billion years to reach the end of our solar system, or our visible reach of the universe, meaning how far our telescopes can get out. It's vast, and it's expanding every single year, and it's growing continually. You know, we think of ourselves as something big and huge, that we're, you know, almighty and stuff like that. We can't even reach, you know, the end of our universe, our visible universe, by our lifetime. That's what God's created. That's how powerful he is. So why not give him that chance to rule our lives? Why not give him that chance to give him our problems and be like, hey, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need you to guide me in this. You see how we are so tiny, we're so insignificant. I mean, if you look at the universe from a big perspective, we are literally a tiny little dot, even a speck that you can't even really see. But yet God still cares for us greatly, immensely, you know, so much that he was willing to send his only son to die for us. Praise God that we have a God like that, that we have a God that was willing to care for such an insignificant little blip on the space of the universe. Turn with me to John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Brothers and sisters, we have a God that loved us so much. You know, he cares for the birds of the fields, he cares for the grass, but I don't think he sent his Son to save the birds or to save the grass. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, for us, to sacrifice himself for us, for our sins, because we were, you know, a mess. So, and that shows the greatness of God, I think. The greatness of God that, you know, he's created everything, but he cares for such a small thing that he created in this universe. We are such a tiny little thing, but he cares for us so much. And that shows the greatness of God, the care that he has. You know, so when we worry about these things, when we worry about all these little things in our world, we need to realize that we need to give all power to God. We need to give him the full right power that he deserves as our God. Turn with me to Psalms 46, verse 10. This is a verse I go to constantly whenever it comes to when I'm worrying about something and I need to be reminded. It simply says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." It says, be still. So whenever you're thinking about the problems that you have in life, be still and know that he is God. Know that there's nothing he can't do. You know, there's nothing that he can't fix in our lives. We need to give him that chance because he's fully willing to. He's shown his love for us. He's shown everything he could to show that he wants to be a part of our lives. Be still and know that he is God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. Brothers and sisters, we got to know who we are dealing with. Turn with me to Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." You know, if we commit ourselves to following God's word, and we trust in him, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. You know, all those things that we might be going through, he's going to bring it to pass. There's no worry to be had. We just have to follow him and trust in him with all of our heart. There's no reason to worry. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Once again, just telling us how much he's done, you know, from the creation of the world. You know, we have atoms that we literally just cannot see. And it's hard for me to believe in atoms because I legitimately can't see them. But, you know, apparently they're there. You know, the things that are invisible, attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know, we just recently figured out, I guess a little bit ago, that the universe is constantly expanding. You know, that is clearly seen. And God stretches forth, is what it says, I believe, in, you know, and I'm just not going to go there because I don't remember which word it's from. But it says that God stretches forth the universe with his hands. Paraphrasing. And so they're being clearly understood by us. We see God's power in this place. Whenever I go to Silverton, I talk about Silverton a lot because I love being there. It's one of my favorite places to be. I've always tell everybody it's almost as if the mountains are screaming his name. It's shocking to me whenever I go there. It's a crazy place to be. It's beautiful. And I just think to myself, how could, you know, something, you know, be come from, how evolutionists would say, however, as nothing can come from nothing and turn into something. It just doesn't make any sense to me. There had to have been a craftsman to craft something so beautiful and wonderful as Silverton. Turn with me to Isaiah 26 and 4. "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." That is all I have prepared for this morning. I hope it has been a benefit to you as it has been to me. If there are any of you who need prayers of the church or like to come stand forward and be baptized and be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd ask that you please come now as we stand and sing.
766.